There's a lot of people who are caught up in the Super Bowl. If you happen to be one of those folks who either casually keeps up with sports or whatever, you know that through the last week and a half, most of the conversation has been about 11 footballs. It's remarkable. There you go. Nate knows who won yesterday or whatever. It's funny what we can get excited about or animated about. I don't know about you, but I would have to say in the recent past, not too distant past, maybe right now, you're tired. You're worn out. And I'm not talking just physically. I'm talking about your soul. And you're in the right place. Because one of the things that God has done to help us to deal with that weary heart, the inability to look up and see a horizon, is the people that He gives us here. It's not just to have a place to go punch a time clock or a worship clock or whatever you want to call it and hang out for a little while. It's a matter of He gives us to one another to help us restoke the fire that He's placed in us. Now we know that God's the one who placed it there, but I think that there's ample evidence to show that we're going to look at this morning that it is essential that we help one another and that we not be passive. We can't think magically that God is either going to restore our hearts and the passion or the fire or the love in our hearts for Him just by either reading the right Bible passage or praying the right prayer. Okay, it's not the words. Okay, I'm not saying God doesn't answer prayer. I'm saying it's not an incantation. It's not presto changeo, which you know is, or hocus pocus. Again, I've told you where that comes from, right? Hoc est pocus. It's what the priest prays over the sacrament whenever they distribute it. And it was, we'll just say, changed and made into a term that we just think now it means, you know, something that a magician says. It has to do with magical change is what we've made it to be. God doesn't let us manipulate Him that way. But we need a change that starts from inside. And the only way we can get that is if we understand, number one, that we need to hunger and thirst for it, hunger and thirst for Him more than anything else. And number two, that He's given us one another to help each other to find it. So we're going to look at some passages this morning about that. We're going to start, well, let me go back to that first page, that first slide there. Last week we talked about the fact that a love for God is mission critical. Okay, a church that has the role of stoking the fire and fanning the flame, that's who we are, that's one of the things that He's given us to each other for. Okay. All right, next slide now. First passage you want to look at is Hebrews chapter 10. It's very familiar to most of you. We preach it a lot. We talk about it a lot, especially when we want to encourage people to be here. We want people to show up. Now, the truth is it is biblical, but it's not just because we want people to show up. It's not about BIS, bottoms and seats, okay? There's much more that goes on, okay? The writer of Hebrews says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching." And we can see the day approaching like it were a train on tracks, and we can feel the rumble. Okay, we are called together for a reason, and it's not so that we can belly up to the spiritual buffet and get something for the week that will make us feel good. We are here for one another. That's what He calls us together for, besides offering ourselves to Him and worshiping Him because He is worth it. We are here because He knows the way we are and what we need. But we're not here to take it. We're here to offer, and we find that He does something in us. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope. Let us not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another. Let us, says, spur one another on to love, towards love and good deeds. So, if you put all that together, what does this passage say about the importance of the body in fanning the flames of love for God? What do you see there? Encouragement, love, and being present with one another. This togetherness needs to have a primary focus. Yes, we want to do good things, but this time that we have together, we have got to make sure that we are taking the time to encourage and spur one another on in our focus on God, in our love for Him and what that means. That's not to say that any one of you can, for me, supply my love for God. But we can encourage one another and support one another and help one another whenever it gets hard to hear God, or it gets hard to see God's hand. And we live in days where it says in the Bible it's going to get harder and harder, and that people's hearts are going to get hard and love's going to grow cold. And the only way that I know not to get cold is to be around a bunch of coals. Metaphor. What happens when you take a coal out of the fire? But if it stays in the fire with all the other coals, it stays hot. So let's hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Let's spur one another. Let's not stop meeting together. So do you see the dynamic? The dynamic clear. We've established that that's one of the things that we're here for. Okay? Next slide, John. In Romans, Paul says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. And then he says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. So, that's sort of he says that in sort of an imperative mode. Okay? What is an imperative mode? It's a command. Okay? So, what is true, and I'm going to use the word true, what's true spiritual fervor? If we're supposed to keep it, what is it? It actually used the word spirit in the verse. Okay? Serve the Lord enthusiastically. Okay? And you know that word enthusiasm comes from the Greek root that has to do with being God-filled. Enthusiasmos. Enthusiasm. So how can we help one another keep our good, true spiritual fervor? Because we didn't go into all the other stuff. Okay? What's the stuff that masquerades as spiritual fervor? T-shirt and bracelet. Religion could be the showy religious stuff. Okay. Joy. We've talked about joy and peace in the last couple of things. So this is, even though this is not necessarily the same little, it all seems to be running in the same direction, at least for me. There's no way that we have what we're supposed to have without gratitude. We can't have joy without gratitude. You can't have a heart on fire if you don't have joy, right? You can't have any of that if you don't have the Spirit indwelling you. You just don't have it. But yet we are to help one another, encourage one another, be the bellows that fans to flame what's going on in one another. Next verse. Paul said to Timothy, I thank God whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. That's somebody who cares. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Next slide, please. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline. Interesting how he weaves all that together. Now, in this case, who's supposed to have the responsibility for fanning the gift, the flame of the gift? Who's supposed to do that? Okay? He's placing some of the responsibility upon us. So we know that it's not a magical hocus pocus. That we have to take steps, just like any first step that you might take in a relationship. If you really want to build a relationship, you have to make yourself available. You have to change your plans. You have to change your schedule. You have to change what you focus on in order to be able to find the time and the ability in order to build that relationship. So we need power, love, and self-discipline. Well, remember he also told him, don't let anybody look down upon you because of your youth. Okay? So there were things that he was having to struggle with that we can tell from what Paul said to him. Paul was involved in his life. Paul came along and found him somewhere, somehow, right? So Paul did some of this. It wasn't like he was saying, okay, Timothy, you're out there on your own, bud. Okay? So even though he tells Timothy to take some responsibility to fan in the flame the gift, who is it that's encouraging him to do that? Paul, the one who served as his mentor, was his community, his probably father in the faith. It's important that we have these connections with one another. That we spend time, because if we don't, what happens is we all start to grow cold. Every one of us. And every one of us, we've already acknowledged, has stuff coming against us and at us all the time. And it distracts us and it discourages us and it wears us out. And if we don't have one another reminding each other, it's just the next step. It's just over the next hill. He's there. He is with you now. You don't feel like it. It's not about your feelings. It's real. You question it. Some people are fortunate enough to have that blood relative environment. But then there's some of us that need the forever family environment because we don't have the other. We don't have the models. You know, some of us are flying by the seat of our pants when it comes to what does it mean to follow. And the reality is every single one of us needs encouragement, needs help, needs to be challenged sometimes, need to be loved on, and forgive me, but almost needs to be petted, you know, at times, to get us through and to see that we need to We need to do what we need to do, engage God, to love God, to spend time with Him, and to know Him better. The Bible's a good place to start, but the reality is, it just tells you the road that you run on. It reveals a lot of things, but then you've got to understand that it's a matter of pursuing God Himself. And that sometimes is a very hard thing to define for people. Does that make sense? Because God's God, right? And you can't define Him nor box Him. You just can't do it. So how do we stoke our passion for God? How do we fan the flame? How do we do it? So you're talking about the parable of the talents. Okay, parable of the talents. Not investing it in the kingdom. Okay. All right. No, it's just that there's a wealth of experience here that we need to draw from. And it's not just, I mean, we all need to know, I need to know, how does that work in the body to where if we need, and there's times where we all have a, if we're honest, we will all of a sudden come across an acute understanding of our need that we have not been passionate about our relationship with God. We have not pursued God. And sometimes that point can be wonderful, but before it's wonderful, it's awful. Does that make sense? And we need people in our lives, and I believe that's what we're supposed to be for one another, who can help each other through that temporary coldness and darkness to get back to a real experience with God that fires us up. That makes sense? A lot of people aren't talking about this because these are the issues of a relationship. And it is a whole lot easier to talk about how do you get to know God? 1, 2, 3. Open your Bible, do this, do that. You know, do the other. Okay. All those things are tracks that your relationship can run on, but it's not your relationship. And it's, I think in the New Testament it's called hospitality. And that's the word that kind of describes that fluidity of relationships and generosity towards others. And that is a way. That's definitely a way that we encourage and spur one another to love the Lord, which that word in itself. See how to say this. Your crisis of faith, whether to trust God or not, is not about you all and only. Your crisis of faith to trust God speaks to all those around you, and God uses that. Whatever that test of faith is all about. Because whenever you and I tell the stories about how God does something that we can't explain, we didn't plan, and He did something that was unexpected and remarkable, does that not do something for your heart? For your love for God, your trust in God, your pursuit of God. It makes me feel like, oh, He's only just a hand, an outstretched arm away. Because He's done it there, He can do it here. And it motivates us. It's like that track coach saying, it's just here. Just here. Do this, you'll get there, you'll reach your goal. You'll get there. You'll either make your time. You'll make your distance. It's just there. And when we see somebody else trust God for what they can't see and don't understand, when they're at that point, that's why people's lives, whenever God changes somebody's life who is at the rock bottom, that's why those things speak to us so much. And this is the last one that we're going to look at today. And we'll see, I need you to help me see how this fits. Paul said to the Ephesians, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And I think that's very important. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that kind of goes back to where we spoke to a little while ago, talking about gratitude and joy and thankfulness. Well, is there anything else that you see here that has to do with our part in being the hands and feet of Jesus to one another, stoking the flames for one another? You see anything there? Is there something about human touch, about proximity, about really sharing worship to where you can not just hear somebody sing or play an instrument, but that you can feel it almost physically? One thing, and you can have a conversation with me about it in the future. Okay, how about not right now? It's one thing to be able to watch a YouTube video of a worship experience, but folks, you aren't there. And what happens is you become, whenever you begin to convince yourself that that is good enough, it's secondhand worship. Yes, we tape all these wonderful things that Dusty says and that you all share and that we do at 9:30. But the reality is you cannot recreate being here. And God has done that for a reason. Yeah, something about sharing a little sweat equity, isn't there? Okay, I think we've done a pretty good job of working around this and talking about this. I need you to help me, and you need me to help you. We need each other to help one another so that we do not allow each other to sit out there outside the flame and get cold. And that is something I believe that we can look at and see that God has said, this is important. It's how I made you. It's where I put you. So we can't assume nor minimize a gift that we are to one another. And that we are for one another. We're how God has made it work, folks. And whenever we get cold and we get tired and we get worn out, and we begin to lose sight, we have to have each other to remind each other of the good things, of the times when God intervened, of the stuff that makes Him real, that makes Him concrete in our lives, that is true. Because it's so easy to start to forget. We're human. You know, it's funny, yesterday Regina and I were at Wally World in Pooler, and we were talking about, whenever I was walking into to Walmart, how often I can walk into Walmart and when I walk out, I cannot remember for the life of me where the car is. I can't remember. That's how easy it is for us to forget stuff. It's how easy it is for us to forget and experience a relationship with God that is growing, that's vital, that's on fire, that is passionate. And if we did all the stuff that we do with a passion and a fire, would it be the way we're doing it now? Here's the challenge that I want to leave you with. And it's going to smart. Smart's here too. We have to be honest when we are not passionate. We've got to have somebody in our lives that we can say, I'm not feeling very passionate these days. I'm not passionate about what I'm doing. If I was teaching and preaching and I had no gumption for it, no urgency, no, you know what I'm talking about? If it's not there, I got to have somebody in my life that I can say, get me through it. Help me. Walk with me. Be honest. Because the problem is whenever we sit there and we keep acting like we're going through the motions, then we are going to get cold. And we're not going to have anybody in our life that really knows we're walking through it with us. And then we find ourselves like that boat in the middle of the night that the anchor tore. And we drift. We've got to be that for one another. We've got to be honest with one another. We've got to help one another. We've got to work together to get through all this. And love on each other and help each other. And it doesn't mean that we have to say, well, I don't have a passion for this anymore. I just don't need to do it. If it's a thing that you're doing. It's not what I'm saying. Because you may still be called to do that. That's up to God. Can't tell you how many times you guys have probably heard at least one or two interviews with Mother Teresa before that there was days where she was just totally numb. There was no feeling. There was no passion. There was just frustration and anger and discouragement and all that. It didn't change the calling, but she needed somebody in her life who was going to love on her and help her. I hope that she had that. I don't know. I got to believe that. We do not know who are those people who are right beside us who are either at that point where they are cold and numb and about to break, or those people who are hurting so bad that they can't hear anything. Both of those folks, and that may be a literal or a spiritual, you know, point. That's what we're here for. Because we all need each other to stoke and fan into flame that focus on what God has done, who God is. The fact that He's changed us. Every single one of us, we have got to be able to go back to and say and remember, because the world's going to tell you it's purposeless, meaningless, and it's not real. You got to be able to remember who you were and what you were before you knew Jesus and where you are now. Got to be able to see a difference. You got to know, because that reminds you that He's real. He's true. He's worked in your life. He's answered your prayers. And that's the truth, which is a part of encouraging one another and helping each other to find that love. God's at work. He wants us to love Him. He wants us to serve Him with joy, with all we've got. Let that be the thing that fuels everything we do, because that's the way He lives in it. If it's empowered by His Spirit, and we are fanning that relationship, fanning the cold, and helping one another. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You are always at work. Thank You that You have given us to one another. Lord, I pray that we would get over ourselves, that we would get over our pride, that Lord, whenever we are cold and when we are losing our love for others and for You, that Lord, we will find somebody we can be honest with. And that, Lord, You will allow them to work in our lives to help us, to love us back, to being passionate. Lord, I pray that everything we think or do, that, Lord, it would be inspired and fueled by a passion that You place in our lives. And that, Lord, we will pursue You, not what You do for us, but that, Lord, we would thirst for You and hunger for You. like we will die if we don't be with you. Lord, fuel our passion. In Jesus' name I pray.